The House Speaker uses his power. How Brian Bosma rescued the marriage amendment. Can it be stopped now? The NRA is coming to town. Marlon Stutzman delivers the GOP address, and Dan Coats does a statewide media tour. That plus suits and sneakers and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending January 24, 2014. Programming
is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, a committee in the Indiana House of Representatives passed the marriage amendment on a 9-3 party line vote. Republicans voted for the measure that would lead to a permanent ban on gay marriage. Democrats voted no. The vote came following a hearing that lasted 4.5 hours. Here is Democrat Phil Giaquinta, followed by Republican Tim Wesko.
I think we can all be on the right side of history with a no vote. So, Mr. Chairman, I vote no.
If marriage can mean anything or everything, it means nothing. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and I believe the people of Indiana are demanding the right to vote on whether to put that in their constitution.
Can the marriage amendment be stopped now? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat John Zodi, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. John Zodi, is the path clear to a November referendum?
I don't think it's clear. We'll see what happens on Monday when when it goes before the full House. But the speaker certainly used his power in a way that he contradicted himself last fall with what he did this week.
All right, we're going to get to the speaker in just a little bit. In the meantime, this is becoming an increasingly partisan issue, is it not?
Well, I find that interesting because it clearly wasn't the last time it was voted on in 2011. Voter was 70 positive votes in the House and 40, I think, in the Senate, which meant that there were Republicans and Democrats voting for it. I think there will be again this time, although I think the Democrat leadership, especially in the House, is trying to push to make it a party line vote. But I don't think it will be. I think there are going to be Democrats who are going to vote in favor of this amendment at the same time. But and I understand their strategy of trying to do that. But I just think that people at the end of the day are going to vote their conscience on this bill. There's no question about that.
This was a rehearing. It had been in one committee and of course, it appeared that it was going to die, and so the speaker moved it to another committee. They went through more testimony this time than they did the first time. Why?
Well, one would wonder. It was, 3.5 hours the first time, 4.5 hours before the House Elections Committee. You would have thought that all of the arguments would have been put on the table by that point, but clearly not. If you looked at the number of people in the hallway, outside, in the gallery, the passions run so deeply, and so many people feel so strongly that I guess that would perhaps explain the duration maybe of testimony.
The leadership keeps talking about how there are bigger issues, there are more important things to talk about. This is taking all the air out of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there are, and there indeed are some important issues that we could be talking about in the legislature right now, it's not showing up by virtue of the actions. By extending it a week, by extending it into next week, it'll probably blow up much of the early part next week. When it goes to the Senate, you'll have the same thing. So this has really overtaken the session, and I think that's something the Republicans really had hoped to avoid.
So let's.
Well, I was going to say, to answer the question about the length of the second hearing on this subject, you had a different committee. And, you know, if you hadn't taken the time to let everybody have their say, the criticism would have been, well, they're just expecting a vote, so they're not really allowing the members of that committee to hear the whole, you know, width and breadth of this argument. So I thought Milo Smith, who was the chairman of the Elections Committee, did a nice job of making sure that they stayed there even longer than they anticipated to let sure everybody had their say in this, because it was a different committee membership than heard it first.
And yet
time.
The vote turned out exactly the way everybody predicted.
But if he'd done it any other way, he would have been criticized for not allowing it to happen that way.
All right, let's talk about what the Speaker did. House Speaker Brian Bosma removed the controversial marriage amendment from one committee and placed it in another, more friendly committee. The amendment that could lead to a permanent ban on gay marriage was stalled in the House Judiciary Committee, where a vote was delayed for a week. Three Republican members were prepared to vote against it in a move that would kill the measure. They didn't get the chance.
I responded to an overwhelming majority of the Republican caucus who have extensively lobbied me to bring this thing to the floor in one fashion or another, and that's how I hope it's going to work.
This is what we call forum shopping. I think it's totally inappropriate. I think it's bad. I don't think this important.
And that's Democrat State Representative Ed Delaney. Mike McDaniel, did Brian Bosma abuse his power?
Well, as I heard you explain on WISH TV, that this was within his purview as the Speaker of the House to do exactly what he did. I talked with Brian Bosma and with the President Pro Tem David Long shortly after the U.S. Supreme Court made their decision about gay marriage or same-sex marriage in America. And, you know, I asked them both, what are you going to do? You waited last year. You didn't do anything. You waited till this year. Now are you going to move forward? And both of them, to a person, told me that day that, yes, we think we've debated this long enough. It's time to let the people decide. Now, clearly, between the fact that Brian Bosma said the same thing, saying the same thing today that he said to me back then, that he thinks that we ought to let the people of Indiana decide this question, I don't think he's changed his course at all on that subject. I think they feel that way. And I think he's bolstered by the fact that, one, he's got a caucus that really feels strongly about that. At least get to the floor.
There were two caucus meetings where they couldn't come up with a consensus on a strategy.
That at least get to the floor, because I will still argue that this is a long way from being over in the legislative process. This is not a slam dunk in any way, shape, or form. But to answer your question, in Brian Bosma's case, he has been committed to this ever since we were talking about it, like summer that was recorded?
He certainly didn't break any new rules. He didn't create any new ones, but he manipulated the rules.
Certainly did. And if we're, you know, to go off Mike's comment, if we're far from seeing the last of this in the legislature this session, this is perpetuating more and more time this issue is absorbing, instead of focusing on things that should be focused on here, the economy, healthcare, education, all these things that are challenges in Indiana. We're not focusing on it. We're focusing on a divisive, unfocused.
They're talking about those issues every day, John.
But it's not getting any coverage.
They're talking about them. They're working on them in the legislature.
The Speaker and the Governor have decided to.
You can't say they're not working on them because they are.
Well, I don't see it.
Brian Bosma said this wasn't part of his agenda. He owns it now.
That's the phrase I was going to use, Jim. This is Brian Bosma's issue because of the actions that he took last week to ensure that it did get passage in the committee and get a hearing on the floor. I'm surprised by that because he has really put this on his shoulders, and it's going to be identified with him one way or another. And while it is certainly within his purview to do this, and bills get changed all the time from one committee to another, so that's really not that unusual.
Now, but high-profile bills.
In this action, it does. It pretty much puts this in Brian Bosma's court, and I think he's aware of that.
There's an old saying that when the legislature is in session, the House Speaker is the most powerful man in the state of Indiana.
Well, certainly there's a history of that, and we talk about the rules and what's, I mean, let's face it, in Indiana's legislature, historically, and I suppose in practice, the Speaker makes the rules. The rules are what the Speaker says they are, so that's almost a non-argument.
And he can always put it to a vote, and he's got a supermajority.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a silly thing. In a way, You look at the quandary in which he found himself. If what he says, we weren't behind the doors of the caucus meetings, but if in fact there is an overwhelming majority, as he says, of his caucus, you know, intensely lobbying him, what do you do? He's a leader. He's a voted. That's a voted position.
I think he said there's a majority. I don't think he said there's an overwhelming.
He did say
majority.
Overwhelming. He did say overwhelming. So he can either not go along with the people who voted to put him in that position, right? Or he can take the what he did do ultimately, which you're right is probably not necessary.
He also said that he would let this go through the normal process.
Well, that's the point.
That's not the normal process.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Didn't he say that he had an overwhelming majority that wanted to bring it to the floor vote?
Right.
Which is different. That doesn't mean everybody's in sync when it gets to the floor.
Clearly, I don't think this was the situation he wanted to be in. Because if you look at this show, and this will be a plug for lawmakers, the other show, but let me just say in the context, no Republican, not Brian Bosma or anyone else who is a backer of the bill, wanted to come on the show this week to talk about it. I don't think they may be enthusiastic about voting. They may be enthusiastic with their constituencies about seeing it go to the floor. They're not enthusiastic about defending the maneuvering this
Brian
week.
Brian Bosma, for what it's worth, also didn't hold his normal media availability this week.
I think the fact that this vote is in question and a supermajority needs to be called upon to get this to happen, and for Mike to admit, and I agree with, that there's a long way for this thing to go before it is enacted says a lot about what's happened to it in the last 3 weeks.
It's really, when you look at what happened 3 years ago, it's kind of amazing the way public opinion and attitudes in the General Assembly have shifted.
It is. They're enthusiastic about dividing Hoosiers, and that's the wrong thing to do.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, did Speaker Bosma abuse his power? Your choices are A, yes, or B, no. Last week's question was, would you like to vote on the marriage amendment? 47% said yes, let's have a referendum. 8% said no, lawmakers should decide this. 45% said, just make this issue go away. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Guns will be the focus of a convention coming to Indianapolis, the biggest convention of the year and among the largest ever hosted here. The National Rifle Association Convention will fill downtown Indianapolis the last weekend in April. The high-profile gathering will bring with it an expected 70,000 attendees, creating an estimated economic impact of more than $50 million. It also has the potential to get nationwide attention from those who are passionate on both sides of the gun rights debate. Here's Chris Gall of Visit Indy.
We know in working with the National Rifle Association, they have a very robust, very detailed safety plan. That's not only for the walls of the Indiana Convention Center, but certainly in the hotels and the community at large.
John Katzenberger, City Fathers kept this secret until now at the request of the NRA. How come?
Well, I had been led to understand that there was a disagreement between the NRA and the city on when they were going to announce this. The city says that they'd let all the important people know, the hotels, the convention, you know, all those places know about it. But I do think that it's a bad move to wait until the very end to say this, because it does look like you're trying to hide something or avoid an issue. Look, if you're going to have them come into your city and spend their money and have their convention, then why are you trying to hide it?
And if you're open for convention business,
then why aren't you open for their convention business?
You need to be, right?
Well, and that's most cities, when they land something this big, they tout it. In fact, the convention next year in 2015 is in Nashville, Tennessee, and they announced it with fanfare apparently in 2010, 5 years ahead. Now, and to bolster what John said, my understanding is, in the comments I've read from the chief spokesman for the NRA, it is not so clear who told whom to hold off. They said it was they had no preference. They said they told the city of Indianapolis that they were going to do something, they, the NRA, in February, but apparently are now saying, again, we weren't in on the conversations, that they could do it whenever they wanted. If that's true, well, then it does suggest that there was some skittishness on the part of the city. And of course, if you want to downplay something, the best way to do it is, as soon as you get it, announce it, have a huge news conference with balloon drop, and then people pretty much ignore those things. So
Does it matter?
No. And nobody's downplayed anything. These things are announced a year and a half to 2 years in advance. This one was, just like the one was announced for next year in Nashville. And everybody knew it was coming here. If anybody that's part of the NRA knew it was coming here, and that's not exactly a secret. So I don't know what the big mystery is. I think the confusion was over who was going to do it when. But look, this is Super Bowl money. I mean, the $50 million will be one of the biggest events we've ever had here, and we have welcomed them. It's going to be a great event for this city, and hopefully we'll do the kind of world-class job we usually do in these events, and they'll want to come back because this is the very kind of super event that we tried to bring here when we expanded the convention center, added more hotels. It was this size group that we were aiming at, and now we're starting to land them. So this is a huge event for Indianapolis.
Will they get a warm welcome?
I just hope there's no snow when they come because the city hasn't done a very good job of clearing that out of the way. But I think a lot of Hoosiers have.
Talking points.
I think a lot of Hoosiers are Second Amendment supporters, and I'm sure they will get a warm welcome here.
Including a lot of Democrats, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Lots of Democrats are Second Amendment advocates.
All right, moving on. For the eighth time in less than a year, an Indiana Republican has addressed the nation. Third District Congressman Marlon Stutzman delivered the GOP weekly address.
President Obama's latest slogan is a year of action, but his administration and his party's leaders in the Senate are sitting on the bench. They seem to have surrendered to a new normal of high unemployment. Instead of standing shoulder to shoulder with out-of-work Americans, they're focused on making it easier to live without a job.
John Schwanis, why Marlon Stutzman?
Maybe he's earned his way out of the political purgatory he was in for the comments he made. We want it to be respected. We're not sure what we want out of this, but we want something new. That, of course, debate that got him a fair amount of bad attention.
His
bad
take press. On the government shutdown.
Correct. This is an honor. I guess I've come to understand now that it's happened so frequently to Hoosiers that this is an honor bestowed by the Speaker's office. So I guess it bodes well for his future. I guess the bigger question is the only two members now of the Republican delegation from Indiana who haven't gotten to do it, and some have done it more than once. Well, Larry Bouchon and Todd Rokita, what have they done to anger the Speaker? I guess is
should
the
they feel left out?
Well, yeah. I mean, when two-thirds or three-quarters of the group has been asked, and you haven't asked yet.
Yeah, now, if Andre Carson gets asked before them,
If Andre Carson's up, then they're up a creek.
Yeah. What do you make of this?
This whole message of they're making it easier to live without a job. I mean, let's bring it back to Indiana for a minute and look at the unemployment rate and the things that we're not focusing on here. And Marlon Stutzman is just a messenger of that out in Washington. And the fact that he was chosen to give the national radio address. I mean, it's becoming a dime a dozen with our Republican members that have been asked to.
You don't think it's worth anything?
Oh, it may be worth something, but. This is about the message we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, and Marlon Stutzman has been a pretty persistent critic of the president.
I agree that it is about the message. In fact, what you saw here in this particular address was a preview of what you're going to see over the next few months from Republicans, especially around the State of the Union speech, where they're going to concentrate on the economy of this country and the fact that we've been languishing the entire Obama administration, and they are making the fact that the sluggish economy is the new normal in this country, and the fact that the Congress has passed a series of bills on energy and a lot of other things that would help the economy. They're bottled up in the United States Senate, controlled by the Democrats. And this is Stutzman actually rolled out the theme you're going to see for the next month here, I think, and probably for the entire 2014 campaign. And it started right here with his address.
So why do you pick him to be the spokesman?
Because he's been an advocate of jobs. He's talking about the farm bill. He's talking about all the things that are important to energy. He's been a leader on that subject. And he's been a persistent critic of the Obama administration. I think all those things are the reason he was selected, and he did a good job with it.
It will be interesting to see if the retort comes back that the Republicans in the House have caused the problems that have led to the fact that they haven't been able to pass any fiscal measures over the same period of time. So I think it'll be – I agree with Mike. You've seen the opening of the campaign, but I think you're going to get a vociferous one in return.
why are we accepting this as the new normal across the country when if that's the case here in Indiana,
Obama.
We have a Republican governor, Republican supermajorities in the legislature that aren't addressing the issues that would help that economy grow. And our
Which is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. We're the best business climate in America. And every major business publication says so. And when the economy starts to turn around and it's growing again, we're going to explode here.
350,000 people got health care.
That's right.
Household income lower than it was 10 years ago.
People losing their health care because of Obamacare.
Let's move on. U.S. Senator Dan Coats spelled out his priorities for 2014 in a media tour that began at the State House this week. At the top of the list is the senator's desire to continue fighting Obamacare. The Republican says that his biggest concern is the medical device tax that would affect a number of Indiana companies.
That has a major impact on our state. It has bipartisan support. 24 Democrats have joined 45 Republicans to press on the president that this egregious tax on gross sales on medical devices needs to be repealed.
John Zodi, what's the message behind that media tour?
Well, I'm just glad Dan Coats knows his way around Indiana. He doesn't seem to be here. I think that this medical device tax is something that both Democrats and Republicans have gotten behind.
Joe Donnelly's
repealing.
Pushing it.
Yeah, so it's something that came out of the Affordable Care Act. Certainly makes a huge impact here in Indiana to our life sciences companies. So, I don't begrudge him for talking about it.
A lot of people looked at this, though, and they wondered if this has something to do with 2016 when Coats is up for re-election.
I would hope so. I mean, why wouldn't it? I mean, what you're basically doing is saying to the people of Indiana, here are the things that I've heard that you say that you care about. And he listed those. I think it were 10 or 12 of them on that list.
10.
And if you look at them, I mean, it was a pretty solid list of things that people do care about in Indiana. And if he's saying, look, this is what you care about, this is what I plan to work on, this is where we need to go in this country, he's trying to attach Hoosier common sense values to things that people care about and carry them to Washington with a national agenda. I thought it was very well done. I think he was smart to do it, and I think he's going to get some major stop points because media outlets all over Indiana are paying attention to what those issues are now. And they're showing up in every newspaper and every major television newscast. And they're going to talk about things that Hoosiers care about.
There were some interesting things on that list, though, including, I believe, one was defend the right to religious freedom.
Supporting faith-based operations.
Well, it sounded like a little something to keep a Tea Party challenge away. Well,
probably not a bad idea if you're Dan Coats. And, it would be naive to think that any incumbent is not, presuming he or she has a desire to return to office in the next election. You can't begrudge someone from looking ahead and trying to fend off challengers. What struck me is what made this look maybe more like a campaign event than a quote-unquote typical speech, policy speech, might have been the placard, which is on the screen now. But what was it? It said something
about his roadmap for 2014,
which is
a term that Mike Pence used in his campaign.
And it's just the notion of having a placard that spells out some sort of, buzzword or uses a buzzword and has an agenda. I mean, you can get up and talk about policy without visuals and placards. I'm just saying that looks like a campaign event.
I think that we should agree right here, right now, to get up with the 21st century and say, let's have a GPS route to the future.
No triptych? I was going
so
back to the triptych.
Nobody uses roadmaps anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
Get
me a marker and
I'm
a
into
flip.
The triptych for yeah. future. I mean,
sorry, guys, look, GPS.
This is the only Republican in Indiana right now that's talking about issues besides something that's divisive and I mean, at least he's trying to put some focus on
it.
No, I just said he's talking about substantive issues versus what's going on in the State House.
Do you expect him to run in 2016?
I'm hearing about 50-50 whether he runs again in 2016, so I don't know.
Where are the Democrats going to turn for a candidate?
We have a lot of people to turn to. We're going to
really? Name a couple.
I'm not naming anybody.
Nobody.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to get into the game of naming names, especially on a TV show.
But if you want to be running, it's time to get moving.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Bob Ashley.
Finally, a number of state lawmakers, staff, and others made a fashion statement this week. They showed up for work in sneakers. It's part of the American Cancer Society's Coaches versus Cancers Suits and Sneakers Weekend. The idea is to bring awareness for the need for a minimum standard for physical education in Indiana, with the goal being to promote physical activity and good nutrition to create a healthy lifestyle and, of course, reduce cancer. The state Senate also banned some teenagers from tanning facilities this week in an effort to battle cancer. Mike McDaniel, what's better, awareness or a mandate?
Well, I think they both were pretty effective, and they're both important. The program with the tennis shoes was highly effective because people on both sides of the aisle got behind it and were supportive of that this week. And the tanning bed issue that you're talking about is important, too, because it's truly a problem with teenage girls and all across the country. And they finally passed a bill in the Senate that will ban it for under 16s.
So they're both good.
They're both very good.
Mandates and awareness. Yep. All right, that's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat John Zody, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.